Yeah, there's some merit in these biomechanical devices. A stride does attaches to your foot and gives you power is one of the critical numbers that it reports. But a better watch, so if you're getting more than a basic watch, you'll get power out of it.
And when people are looking at massage guns, I know that there are a couple of things that they should be taking a look at. You know, obviously the number of heads or different type of heads. Stall force is one of those things. It's like, oh, when will the head actually stall? How much pressure are you allowed to put on it before, you know, it completely freezes up?
And when you're coming off a long, hard run or preparing for one, ice bath is a good way to get your lower torso. So helps you recover quicker to stay active versus, you know, when you're getting those hill repeats in or a long trail run, a long, you know, 15, 16, 18, 20 plus miler, it's going to help you get back to the game quicker.
Hello and welcome to the Race Mob Podcast. This is episode number 53. I'm Kevin, entrepreneur, technology, and fitness nerd. And I'm joined by the head coach of Race Mob and master motivator, the incomparable Bertrand Newsom. All right, Race Mob crew, we are back for part two of our product recommendation series. And we're so thankful to welcome back to the program, Scott Struhl. Welcome back, Scott. How are things going?
Things are going great. I got my run in, I'm nice and showered and ready to talk about more products with you guys.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I know last time we left off with the essentials, and those were the things you absolutely needed just to even get started. And now we're starting to get into some of the fun parts. So some of the things that you may pick up, some of the purchases that you may want to get to this Amazon Prime Day. Let's start with some of the things that will help you initially and in your initial runs. And I know watches or some sort of GPS tracker or some sort of tracker, this is oftentimes, you know, the thing that people pick up. It helps them stay motivated. It helps them keep track of, you know, not only the distances that they've run, the paces that they're running, a lot of these important metrics. So Scott, talk to us about what watch you wear. And yeah, if you have any insights on some of the best watches or things that we should keep an eye out for.
As a beginner, you really just, the most important thing is that you're going to have something that's going to be tell you where you've been. So it's basically going to track your miles, be able to calculate the time that it took to do that. So what was the amount of time it took to run those miles. And then it's a calculation. The watch does that calculation for you to tell you the pace. And what's important about that is when you work with a coach or if you just have a running plan, you want to be able to stick to that plan and run a specific amount of miles or a specific amount of time. It's a 30-minute run today or it's a 5K run today. And to see if you're improving, you want to understand your pace. So the best way to do that is with a watch. It's really funny to see people still running with phones, looking at holding their phone in their hand to see what their paces are. I mean, phones can do that because phones have GPS, but you know, the watch does a whole lot more than the phone does. It also will capture, a basic watch, will capture your heart rate. So that's also important to know what your heart rate is at those paces. The watch that I am wearing today is the Polar Vantage. It's more of a triathlon watch, and I only say that because it has multiple sport modes. You can run, bike, swim, climb a mountain, play badminton, roller derby, many things that I don't do. Ski, golf even is on here. The watches that have these profiles are going to allow you to capture more events that you're working on. But a basic watch, Garmin this week, and I imagine we're going to see some sales next week on Prime Day. A basic watch from Garmin is the new Garmin 55. Our listeners should probably look on YouTube for some good reviews on that product. It's gotten rave reviews. It's like at around a $200 price point, and it does everything that a basic runner needs.
Great insight, Scott.
Yeah. Coach, what do you wear? Do you wear a watch? I actually do run with my phone oftentimes. I have an Apple Watch. I have an Apple Watch. I'm that guy. I'm that dude. I have an Apple Watch, but it never connects. And I feel like every time I look down, it doesn't work so well. But that's like the Apple II. So, you know, I haven't upgraded yet. It's something I'll probably need to do at some point.
I'm the dude who runs with two watches at times.
Ah.
I have the Nike Watch, the Apple Watch. Nike branded, so it has Nike Plus built into it. And I also have this kind of basic level, entry level Garmin watch that does what Scott said there. It records time and distance, uploads data to my smartphone, then I can analyze the data again, a very low price point. I think I got this off Amazon and it was refurbished for under 50, like $50, and it retailed for probably twice that. So super value, very durable, and it gives me all the core data that I need as a runner. Very good for beginners. And as Scott said, as we're talking about with Amazon Prime Day coming up, there are going to be some great deals going on with all types of watch brands across the board. So
yeah, and I know a lot of our audience knows I bought a watch for my mom on the last Amazon Prime Day. It was a Fitbit, I think Vantage, and it has really helped her keep her steps up, and she's doing over 10,000 steps, sometimes even 20,000 steps every single day. So just that little watch, that can be ultra motivational. So fantastic for us to talk about. The next thing I have on the list for beginners, I love earbuds. I mean, I love to listen to music. I love to have something in my ear, whether that be a podcast like this or, you know, some music, some jam, something to keep me motivated and going, or an audiobook. Sometimes I'll listen to an audiobook as well. Do you guys have any favorites in terms of earbuds or things that you use while you're running?
Absolutely. 99% of my runs, I'm going to have earbuds in. The ones that I've been using since they came out are the Jaybird Vista. Before that, I had the Jaybird Run. And so this is my second round with Jaybirds. They're great. They're light. So light that you can't even know when they fall out of your ear. That's not a good thing, but you got to kind of just keep doing that every once in a while to make sure that they're in. And the battery power on those is amazing. They connect to my phone very quickly. But since we were just talking about watches and phones, you guys know I really don't like running with my phone. If I'm going to go somewhere where I want my wife to track me or someone to track me, if I'm going on a longer run or if I'm going off my general path, someone wants to know where I am. So I will keep my phone, because then we have location services.
Good.
But when I want to run without my phone, if I'm just doing a 3 mile around the block, I use this little MP3 player, a Bluetooth MP3 player called the Mighty, M-I-G-H-T-Y. And that syncs to your earbuds. It's a little thing that it's about the size of a quarter, and you can put like 600 songs on it.
Wow.
So I run with that and my earbuds. Unless I want to listen to an audiobook or a race mob podcast, then I take my phone with me.
Coach, I know when we talked last year, you were not much of an earbuds person, not much of a music person. Are you sporting any earbuds these days, or are you going sans?
Some things never change. They may in the future. I mean, if I'm not running with somebody, I just like to immerse myself in the run itself. So it is the extreme exception that I'm running with music. There have been maybe a handful of occasions when I've been out and about listening to a great Race Mob podcast, or some of our guests who have their own podcast or YouTube channel, i.e. Scott. But in most cases, I'm just soaking up the noise around me, or kind of letting the thoughts in my own head kind of play out and get, it's some time for myself as well. So, but I do love music outside of running. It's always music playing in the house all the time. So I'm learning here in this podcast on, maybe some gift options in the future. I may have to step my earbud game up.
Yeah. And I've been in the market for earbuds. I really have. I know when we had Mike on, I asked him about earbuds and he had recommended the Jabras. So I went out and got the Jabra Elite, I think 85T. I wasn't a big fan of them. I'm not sure why. I think there's some oddities with it. Just like when you remove it from the ear, it just shuts everything off. You can't actually like share earbuds with anybody else. I had an issue where one dropped out and I didn't know it. And then I couldn't find it for a while. When I finally found it, I couldn't turn them back on. So I don't know. I wasn't in love with the Jabras. I've tried the Skull Candies. That's another one that I'm trying right now, but also not in love with it. I've got like a cheapo $40 pair that I found on Amazon that work fine, but I'm not in love with the battery life of it. So still in shopping mode for earbuds right now. So I may go check out those Jaybirds. I think I'll go check out the Jaybirds. I think, let's see. Yeah. Mike also recommended Pamus. So I think that's another one that he had recommended, but I'm going to go check out those Jaybirds. I think they may work really well for me. So fantastic.
Now, I was on a Instagram Live a few weeks ago and I couldn't find my plug-in earbuds for the iPhone. So I picked up a pair of earbuds and they were cheap, JVC. And I've used them like twice, but the battery life on them was pretty good. In my ear, they fit well. I don't have a photo of, or have them in my periphery, but yeah, just go ahead and throw that out there. So
yeah. And maybe it's partly the difference between the active noise canceling, so the ANCs versus the ones that kind of just fit and plug your ear and cancel and kill all of the noise. So maybe it's just I'm not used to the ANC ones, or I'm not sure. But both the Skullcandy one and the one that Mike Z recommended, they were both ANC types of earphones. And maybe they just don't fit all that well. They just felt a little bit loose, like they would fall out all the time. And in fact, one of them did fall out. So I guess we'll keep trying. We'll keep trying. I'll see if I can make a recommendation at some point.
Yep. The other thing you could do to help them fall out is put on that Race Mob headband.
That's right.
That coach That's is right. wearing. And it can't Good fall out if you have your ears covered. And you'll look cool doing it.
Awesome. Next on my list, and it was something that we recommended for beginners, was a scale. So smart scale. I know that I use one, I think it's called a U, that connects via Bluetooth to my phone. So I can track not only weight, but percentage body fat, bone weight, a couple of those things. And I don't do it every day, but every once in a while, I want to check in on how I'm doing and be conscious of that. Do you guys use any scales at home? Is that anything that you're looking at?
So I will have to admit, when you wrote scale, yeah, I didn't think of weighing myself. And I ran upstairs and I got it. I'm a shoe geek, as we determined yesterday. I have a scale to weigh my shoes. Every new pair of shoes, I weigh it and I keep track of the weight of the shoe. So I don't have a recommendation for a shoe scale. Just go get the one that works.
Yes, I do have a couple of scales. As you know, Kevin, when you help me move, you're like, what is going on?
How many scales do you need? You calibrate one from one to another. What's going on here?
And we have incorporated on Wednesdays at Hammer Time. So we have a couple of team members, all voluntary. So I track performance. I track time trials for everybody. And sometimes people are looking to just get an idea, maybe quarter to quarter, month to month, first half of the year, second half of the year, pre-race training block versus closer up to training block, and just tracking that. And for me, being a 6'1", sometimes in the 180s to teetering around 200, it's important for me to see where I'm at as I'm looking to tweak diet, nutrition, and we're on the cusp of a challenge that we had in February of this year that will be coming back, the Cut the Crap Challenge. So good opportunity to get familiar with where you are at, and always, as Scott mentioned, with measuring time and distance, measuring scale weight is an important way to see, kind of touch base on kind of where you're at. So,
yeah. And in fact, when this podcast goes live, the Cut the Crap Challenge will also be live. I think we are launching the Cut the Crap Challenge on the 17th. So 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We're going to have a meetup with Tony Julian. If you all remember, fantastic guest of the podcast, has a really great challenge where we cut out some of the things that we should be cutting out of our diet for a 14-day challenge. So that'll be a lot of fun. We'll kick that off. A lot of information up online for those that want to join us. And last time we ran the challenge back in February, we saw some tremendous, incredible, incredible results from the community. And the community just banded together and helped each other throughout that whole journey. So it's a lot easier to cut crap when others are giving you fantastic recipes, when they're giving you encouragement day after day. So really looking forward to that. And that'll be live right when this podcast episode goes live as well.
Excellent. I got a week or so to finish my ice cream sandwiches.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Well, as you guys know, I'm going to Hawaii this week. So I just hope that I don't gain
papaya,
too much weight.
And pineapple, alcohol-free Mai Tais. Soak it up, man. Soak it up.
There you go. Well, another gift that we had talked about before was a fitness planner. So some way for you to track your upcoming, runs, kind of schedule things in, have some structure around your training plans. There's a number of these different fitness journals, running journals. I've seen them in the past. I've used a couple in the past. They make a great gift for Amazon Prime Day. So if you have a runner in your life that has a birthday coming up, this may be something of interest. You can track all sorts of dynamic warm-ups to do beforehand. You can take a look at different stretches. You can really kind of tweak a lot of different things and then just keep track of every single run. So whether that's the physical or, I think that there may be some online versions of this as well, but that might be something interesting to get the beginner runner, get them motivated.
Yeah. I like that it has tips in it too. So it could have stretches and a pre-workout plan right in the book. So that's a benefit to having a physical book to look at.
And I was gifted one for my birthday, paper base, which is really cool. And I'm, you know, I'd like to try to make the best use of my time. And so I'd like to integrate a lot of that electronically, but having it paper based as much as I'm a good note taker, great gift idea, Casey. So you too could end up with these in the future. So good stuff. And we talked about getting maybe as a swag item in the future. So stay tuned, Race Mob community.
Let's get down to what some intermediate runners may need. So I know that there's a lot of difference when you start going from a 3 mile or a 5K run to when you start getting into that 10K distance and then the half marathon distance. You know, you're out there on the road for much, much longer. You need to start thinking about hydration. You need to start thinking a little bit more about, you know, nutrition and other things. So let's get into some of the things that you guys may recommend for, you know, for people kind of who are now more enthusiastic about running, now starting to go longer or further. What are some of the things that you guys may recommend or that are in your arsenal?
I would say that if you're going to be out there for an hour or more, especially now the time that, you know, the season that we're in, and for you guys, it's always summertime. So plan your hydration. You can't just think, oh, I'll just drink when I get back, because dehydration is real. I think everybody here on this call has experienced it, and it's sickening. A hydration vest, either a vest that you can wear over your on your back, or I also really like these hydration belts that it just goes around your waist and has little pockets for small bottles. If you're going out for 2 hours, you only need about 20, 30 ounces of liquid. So you don't need a whole vest. You don't need a 5 liter vest if you're just going out for an hour or two. But so those hydration would be the number one thing I would get if you're planning on running from an hour or more.
Yeah, well said, Scott. Yeah, and to piggyback on items for intermediate runners, depending on what time of day you run, if that's, you know, early in the morning when, you know, the sun is not out, or you're running post-work when the sun is not out, having some type of safety, reflective gear, safety lights, some level of illumination, and always erring on the side of safety.
Which brands and which gear do you use? Because I know that you've tried out a couple of different brands for safety lights.
Yeah, Nathan has some. Nathan brand, they have, you know, they have hydration vests, but they also have a brand of portable safety lights as well. So that's worked for me in the past and some other fellow running teammates.
In the wintertime, I'm in a Tuesday night run club, just like you guys have your hammer time. We run at 6:30 p.m. on Tuesdays. And in the wintertime, 6:30, it's already pitch black, very dark. And I purchased a couple of years ago the Knox Gear light-up vest. It blinks. It's very light. It's got these little tubes in it that light up, and it's got a blinky component in the back. Runs on two AAA batteries, so it's easy to make sure that you always have it working. You can't feel it when you're running, and that's the light system that I use when I run at night. Knox Gear. It's always on sale, and it probably will be on sale again next week.
Knox, like N-O-X?
N-O-X.
O-X, yeah. And I know I have some Nathan for my hydration belts and stuff. There's either the one that kind of sits across the back or the like multiple small bottles and whatnot. You know, they make some fantastic gear. You just got to make sure that they're sized right, that they're sitting on top of your hips. Nothing worse than chafing, which is the other thing that I was going to get to, too, is when you start getting into that half marathon distance and you're out there for a while, you want to make sure that you have a good anti-chafing stick. So there's a couple of these, and people don't tell you too much, or you may have to. Yeah, we don't want you to have to learn the hard way.
It happened once or twice, and you're like, that isn't.
So a little stick of that, it almost looks like, you know, like an antiperspirant stick. You know, you do want to get your nipples, you do want to get like inner thighs, outside of the feet, inside of the feet sometimes. Sometimes in the armpit area or on the sides of that. You know, just make sure you use it. It'll make you more comfortable too.
Oh, yeah. I screamed the loudest I ever did, I imagine. Last fall, I went for a long run with, and it was cool. So I had long, I had tight, running tights on. And I came home, got in the shower, and screamed so loud that my wife thought that I just butchered a cat or something. She was a little bit scared about how I yelled. So you don't want to wake the dead. Get the chafe.
Good call.
It's worth it.
And I think one thing that we alluded to last time is some of the compression socks or compression sleeves, the calf sleeves, those types of things. I know that when I start getting to longer distances, these do help me a little bit, both with the run itself and recovery afterwards. So I don't know if you guys use compression sleeves on your longer runs or kind of leave it as is.
Yeah, I certainly do. I was graced with very muscly calves. My wife says I would have been an awesome pilgrim back in the day, and I'm glad you guys got that. So they do get sore. So the brand that I use is two times U or 2XU. It's a neoprene or a polyester. It's very comfortable, and it's a little bit of compression. It just keeps the muscles from moving around a lot. So again, on long runs or if I'm sore, I will wear the compression sleeves on my calves.
Yeah, great brand, very popular with triathletes. Also CEP and Pro Compression, either compression calf sleeves, arm sleeves. And we talk about sizing, very important, especially if you're ordering online, to look at the directions and make sure that you are ordering the right size. If you have the opportunity to measure your calf circumference or arm circumference, important, because I know of runners that have just picked up on the fly and was wearing a compression garment that was too small for them, and it restricted their blood flow during long run, and it can be debilitating. So very, very important to make sure that the sizing is right with compression garments, especially on your lower limbs.
We want to compress, not constrict.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. Very cool. And I know, yeah, I haven't used arm sleeves before, but people swear by them. And I know when we had Dean, even in his book, The Runner's High, he talks about like forgetting his arm sleeves on one of the during Western States, and that having just a dramatic impact for his whole race. So, yeah, maybe something to play around with, especially if you're in warmer temperatures, hotter temperatures, you know, if the sun's beating down, you know, how can you use arm sleeves for shade or for cooling effect, those types of things. I know people also use arm sleeves sometimes when it's cold and
yeah,
just to keep you warm too,
for me,
right?
Yeah, that works. Yeah, the versatility.
They're really great if you're trail running and you're going to possibly run between trees. Sometimes you'll get caught by a branch and a trail sleeve could save you from getting a cut on your arm.
Let's talk a little bit about, you know, those going for the marathon distance, the ultra distance, you know, those going further, and maybe some of these like advanced techniques, some of these things that are trendy or you know, on the edge that may help them train for those distances and get there quicker. So one thing, I guess, that I haven't done a lot of research in, but I know a lot of the big YouTube stars have at least tried out or have at least talked about, some of these are some of the newer training methodologies. So either Whoop, which I think Amazon has like a Whoop brand or bracelet that I don't know too much about. I know that it tries to track your body composition along with other stuff. And then I know that one that Mike Cavuzzi uses is Stride. So I think Stride, some sort of foot pod or something, maybe along with like an online subscription or whatnot. I don't know if you guys have heard too much about these or know much about them.
I've heard of Stride. I know that our friends with 80/20 Endurance, their ambassador crew, has access and a percentage off. Understand the principles behind the technology in measuring, like, it's, you know, your stride rate, cadence, stride length, and all that other that data. If you're really looking to elevate and looking to shave off seconds or minutes at that elite level or at the longer distance, because it's all about efficiency and that type of data, it will allow you to fine tune your running mechanics, make some measurable improvements.
Yeah, there's some merit in these biomechanical devices. The Stride attaches to your foot and gives you power is one of the critical numbers that it reports. But a better watch. So if you're getting more than a basic watch, you'll get power out of it. The Coros watch and my Polar watch also has a power value that comes out. But also what's important is cadence is an extremely important metric that you're going to want to track. And that's hard to do with a watch. You usually need to put something on. I purchased this a few years ago. It's called the Garmin Running Dynamics Pod. It's a little clip and it goes on the back of your shorts. And it basically can tell which way your body is angled. One interesting thing it knows about is percentage of time on your left or right leg. So it knows if you're favoring a leg, and it could tell you if you're hurt, it'll say, hey, you're 60% on the left leg and only 40% on the right. So I know that I'm struggling if I see those numbers far off. not good on trails, because trails you're going to be left and right all the time. But if you're running on flat pavement, I'll use this to for better tracking of my cadence as well as my left-right foot balance.
Wow, that's really cool. So it's called a Garmin Pod?
Running Dynamics Pod.
And does that connect with then your Strava account or other accounts? Or?
It connects to your watch, and those additional details will get uploaded to Strava.
Wow, that's really cool. What about heart rate monitors? I know that's another thing that people take a look at. Do you guys have any preferences? Have you used any in the past? Or use any today?
Yeah, I got one a few weeks ago. Since I got the Polar Vantage watch, I bought the Polars. They have an H9 and the H10. The H10 was just, I went for the little less expensive one. It was on sale, so I got the H9. They still sell the H7, but the battery power, I understand, is not very good on that. So you're going to be replacing the battery very often. So you might be saving money, but you're going to have to buy these little 2032 size little batteries too often. They work really well. So as soon as you pair it with your watch, if the watch sees it in near you when you start running, it automatically turns on. And I've noticed that it is a little, I can't say it's more accurate, but it's different than the optical heart rate sensor on my wrist. So my heart rate is a little bit lower when I wear the heart rate monitor than when I get it from the wrist. I have two numbers. Which one's correct? I'm going to say that the strap is probably more accurate because it's only an inch away from my heart, where this is not anywhere near my heart.
Good. Yeah, with my Apple Watch, it has a heart rate monitor and also has a built-in EKG as well. So, you know,
that's interesting.
And people are you know, have to be mindful of that. It's good metrics for me personally. So I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, I know. I used to use a Polar as well. I might be in the market for a new heart rate monitor as well at some point in time. I just got one of these exercise bikes and they connect to a heart rate monitor too. And I'm like, oh, I should probably track that. I mean, there is some really good evidence on, you know, heart rate based training. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, what level should you be at for this polarized training, you know, at a fast pace, at a, you know, a 90% plus heart rate, or, you know, should you pull it back for the majority of your runs? It's nice to know what your heart rate is to know that level of effort, because it's so individualized. And it's so individualized even on the day because of the temperature, because of how your body's feeling, because of, you know, all sorts of other things that sometimes or often heart rate is the best measure of level of effort. So interesting to note.
Tracking your heart rate zones is an important aspect when you're at this level, because it could be just a couple seconds off of that mile pace. One technical aspect when you're buying these heart rate monitors, they expose a frequency, and the two that they use are Bluetooth or something called ANT+. So you need to know that your watch, the receiver end, supports the type of transmission that the heart rate monitor is going to put out. Most of them will do Bluetooth and ANT+, one or the other. Sometimes they'll do both.
Good to know. Absolutely. All right. Another one that we wanted to highlight here, we were fortunate enough to have Bree Lambert up on our podcast a number of months ago. And so one of the tools that we got to test before Bree came on was the Running Pods. She's an entrepreneur. They are fantastic devices. We got to train with them for quite a while. I even have a YouTube video on, you know, what I like and even the thing that I wanted them to improve, they were able to improve, and that was heavier running pods. So they have now the Mercury running pods. So fantastic device. Coach, talk to us a little bit about your experience with running pods.
Yeah, one, I like how they fit in my hand. They don't move around. The weight, I mean, the ones I have are 1 pound, and they do make me more conscious of arm swing, that I'm running at my center mass. I think there are studies that, you know, you do get a greater calorie burn. And if you're, you know, burning more calories by carrying an extra 2 pounds and a pound in each hand, that's a good thing. A couple of our athletes have picked some up as well, and they've also given us some very good reviews. And Kevin, your online review of this product was fantastic. One of our more popular YouTube videos ever produced. So I highly recommend, and good call on your part to suggest a higher weight for some people. I think that would be beneficial as well. But yeah, I'm a fan of it. I probably, you know, when I was running pre-broken foot, probably half of my middle distance runs during the weekday, I would always have the run pods with me.
I think the benefit that I didn't realize when we got them would be how conscious you are of arm swing and how it improves really your running form. You know, your arms, they have so much impact on your momentum, on your ability to run quicker, run faster, you know, making sure that they're in time, making sure that you're like shooting back with the correct arm all the time. So just that consciousness of where your arm should be, that helps quite a bit. And yeah, I mean, they did talk a little bit about the calorie burn and increasing calorie burn and all that. But to me, it was all about, wow, it really does make you conscious about running form and where your, you know, where your upper body is. So.
And if somebody steps up on you, you can knock somebody out with them too.
There you go.
Wait, does that person have a little grenade? You know, so there is a safety aspect to it as well. So
that's true. That's true. If you like our podcast, then sign up for our newsletter where we give you weekly tips on how to run your best race and have fun in the process. Just go to racemob.com and sign up today. I know one of the most popular items that Seth James Damore talked to us about was the slant board. And I know that it was another thing that we talked about when Scott came up on the podcast. So for our audience who hasn't heard about those episodes, Scott, tell us what a slant board is and why somebody might use it.
Yeah, so the slant board is a piece of wood. It's a couple pieces of wood that you can elevate into like a plank. And you stand on it essentially to stretch your soleus as well as your calves. I hurt my soleus and my gastroc muscle just a few weeks ago. And instead of going to PT and spending a whole lot of money and doing stretches, I just stood on the slant board at the lowest level at first and then gradually upgraded to the more steep angle. You just need to stand on it. And so you can stand on it while you're washing dishes, or you can stand on it while you're watching my YouTube channel or Race Mob YouTube channel, or just any YouTube channel. It works with any YouTube channel. just standing on it, and you can also stand on it either way, so toes down or toes up, depending on what kind of stretch, so you can change the direction. Sometimes I'll do some slight knee bends, simple squats to get to work, engage the calves and the glutes. And I'm finding it very useful. I use it a couple times a week. It's part of my extended workout, my extended home workout. And it's called the Slant Board. There are a couple of knockoffs, a couple of different models, but there'll be one on sale on Amazon. So any one will work, but the one branded, the Slant Board, is the original.
Picked mine up off of Amazon last year, and it's have it underneath my work desk here. So very important, very practical.
Yeah, it's ingenious. I mean, you could just stand on a curb and put your toes down. That's what we used to do. But you don't have to go outside now. And it's safe. And the angle is really perfect because you can adjust it.
Scott, what is a soleus? So, yeah, I know how to stretch my calf muscle, but which muscle is
soleus? The soleus is the muscle just below the calf. Ah. So it's between your ankle and your calf is your soleus.
Ah, then maybe that's what I injured earlier this year. And I probably should be stretching that out and strengthening that. So that's...
There's a tendon called the gastroc tendon, and that goes between your calf and your soleus, and that's the one that tore, and I got an internal bleeding and actually got, therapy for.
Wow.
But it's all better now. Took about a month to go away.
Soleus train. Oh, soul train. I'm sorry.
Oh, there we go. Oh, that's a good idea for my next video.
I think one of those other products that we've heard recommendations for are these, like, Normatec-type boots. And I know that there are probably a couple of knockoffs that happen on Amazon Prime Day that are probably almost equally as good. But we'll probably get into some of these recovery ones. I think Normatec is like top of the top of the top of the line. Like if you're really doing these ultras and going long distance, I've heard some good things about the Normatec. Do either of you guys use one of them?
I've only seen them. I have not experienced them yet. I saw them in the recovery room at our gym. But I did not get a chance to use them. But I'll tell you how popular they are and how much their revenue must be going up through the roof, because the company was acquired by the company that makes the Hypervolt massage gun. So Normatec is now part of Hypervolt. That's just an interesting aspect that, they're doing well that they were to get acquired.
Yep, I was just going to say that. Good call, Scott. I have used them. Some race expos will have them, so you can go and sit and experience. And there is a location in the South Bay where I would get cryotherapy, and they also offer those boots as well. So I do a kind of, two for one. Good. Yeah, just pricey. If the price point comes down, it's a good investment. But, they have to, they're not cheap.
And what do they do? I mean, it's kind of like air compression, and so you sit in, you put your legs in a boot. Is it randomized where the compression is, or are they trying to move blood around in very particular motion, or what?
Very, very good question. Is compression from like say pointer down to your ankles, and it does rotate. The intensity does, and the location does. So up, down, gradual, more intense, and you can administer, you can affect the amount of intensity and certainly the duration as well. So I mean, I've been in them as long as 45 minutes to an hour. And the times it's that comfortable, when you get used to it, you can actually almost fall asleep to it. So, and do I feel better afterwards? I mean, I have. Some would say, do you do it before a long run, or do you do it from a recovery standpoint post? I like to do it before, personally. So, and I know people that do both. One of our athletes, Nicole, has a pair. I don't know if it's this particular brand that we're talking about that has been acquired by Hypervolt, but yeah, she probably should be using them more. I'm calling you out, Nicole. As active as you are, use those boots more. All right.
Yeah, that's like number one on my recovery list of items that I don't have. You know, you guys know I have a lot of stuff, and that's one thing that's on my list. Looking forward to get one day.
Yeah, well, I mean, while we're on the subject of recovery, Scott has a fantastic YouTube video on the recovery items that he uses. So, Scott, break down some of those items for our podcast audience. What are the things that you swear by and that you use?
I dig vibration, good guys. If it vibrates, I like it. So the massage gun, the kind of vibration that it's safe to do in front of the family. So, but I just got this thing, and this is interesting. It's called an agility ball, but it's a massage ball. It's basically a massage gun in the form of a small baseball. What's nice about this is you can kind of sit on it and use it in your either glutes or your back of your hamstring or even on your calves, but you can use this as a roller too. So this has been my new favorite that I've just been experimenting with. The company that is sending me or allowing me to do reviews for them is called Life Pro Fitness. They're a massage company, a recovery company. And I do like their products, the Life Pro Massage Gun. The one that I like the best is the one called the Pulse FX. That's the one that I reviewed on my channel. So I reviewed all of their products. I also use their foam rollers. So they have vibrating foam rollers. So you're getting a massage at the same time as foam rolling. So you get a 2-for-1 there. Their newest one, which is the last review that I did, was their heated foam roller. So it has a heated sleeve that goes on top of it so that it generates some warmth over your muscles, which kind of feels good to just warm your muscles at the same time that you're stretching them out.
That with those two or three items you just mentioned from that particular company, can you give our audience an idea on the price point?
Yeah. The vibrating foam roller, the heated one, which is called the Serger Pro, it can be found on Amazon for $119. I hope that they're going to have a promo. A lot of times it'll go on sale with a $20 coupon. And there's also a discount on if you watch my review, there's a discount in the video notes to get 10% off from Life Pro Fitness. The massage guns are in that $149 range, the one that I have. What's nice about that is the battery's really long. It has 9 interchangeable heads. So it comes with a flat head, the pointer if you want to get into some joints. Another one that I have is the LX Mini, the last one I want to talk about. What's nice about that is it's a massage gun that's about the size of a cell phone. If I was going to Hawaii next week, it would be certainly something that I would put in my bag and take with me.
And when people are looking at massage guns, I know that there are a couple of things that they should be taking a look at. You know, obviously the number of heads or different type of heads. Stall force is one of those things. It's like, oh, when will the head actually stall? How much pressure are you allowed to put on it before, you know, it completely freezes up? Noise, you know, some of them are like loud turbo engines, and some of them, you know, are much quieter and much easier to manage. And I think also penetration depth, like some of them have different depth at which they will hit your muscles. So I think that those are a couple of things. Oftentimes, when you're taking a look at reviews or taking a look at specs of those products, you want to take a quick look at how each massage gun stacks up with each other as well.
Yeah, the Life Pro ones, they do have significant force, but yeah, compare what you're looking for. The one that I have does compare to the one that Coach has, the the one that most people are acquiring, the
Hypervolt.
The Hypervolt. So it is similar to that in style, but it's I wouldn't call it a knockoff per se, but it is modeled to look like a Hypervolt.
I mean, the Hypervolts are best of the best, right? They're kind of cream of the crop.
The two that you think about are Hypervolt and Theragun. I think those are the ones that most people will have heard of. They started. The Theragun is loud. It's like a jackhammer.
There may be a sponsor in the future, so it's very. It's great. A great tool. Great tool.
If you get the Theragun, you're also going to want to. I would get the Jaybird headset, Bluetooth headphones, the Theragun. There should be a buy one get one.
That's a nice bundle right there.
That would be a nice holiday bundle for someone and some Bluetooth headphones.
Yeah, I think the Theraguns, they just use like those reciprocating saws, you know, and they just like tweaked it a little bit to put a little foam pretty head on it, but close, it really is.
I'm sure the prototype was just a skill saw.
Yeah, exactly.
Wonder how those initial beta tests went.
Scott, I know on your channel you also have the Recoup Ice Ball. That's another. So talk a little bit about like the ice. When do you use ice? When do you use heat? How are you using them?
The Recoup Fitness, the Recoup Ice Ball is fantastic. No one actually won the one that I was giving away. So I'm going to reopen for Prime Day. Anybody who's listening to this, we'll have to figure out a way, Kevin, for someone to win one, because I have a few extras and I'd love to be able to share it. You put it in your freezer. It's a little bit bigger than a baseball, smaller than a softball. Ice is great for when you first get hurt and you want to reduce inflammation. So I use it quite often if I have some pain and I'm just sitting in the couch and I want to roll out on my, generally I'll use it on my hamstrings or my quads, even my low back. What's great about it is you just hold it in your hand and it's a ball. So it rolls inside its handle. Anybody could look it up. It's called Recoup Fitness. They sell for $50. And someone listening to this podcast can win one.
It's great. Yeah. I had one and actually re-gifted it. So they're probably listening and saying, oh, was that you? Was that already you?
You gave it away? You re-gifted it?
I did. Because I had other cold therapy remedies. Okay. And I felt it was kind of repetitive. Yep.
And if you make a gigantic margarita, they're perfect for that too.
I was going to say a whiskey ball, and it kind of like if you don't want to dilute your whiskey, then you just plop one of those right in there.
Yeah.
It looks like a big pinball.
Yes.
And Scott, talk to us a little bit about, you had gifted us a couple of these Deep Blue Rub, which is fantastic. I used it on my ankle when I got injured as well. So talk to us a little bit about what's in these, what you use them for, where people can find them.
Yeah, so Deep Blue Rub is it's an ointment that has essential oils as well as other peppermint oil that really helps reduce pain. You can kind of think of it as the grown-up Bengay. 20, 30 years ago, maybe our grandparents or my parents would use Bengay for a sore back. But this is much, much better. It's healthy. It doesn't stain your skin. It does burn your eyes, so don't put it anywhere near your eyes. But I don't actually have mine here. But Deep Blue Rub is a great product for just getting that recovery when you're feeling that pain. There's some more details about how it works and why it works on my YouTube channel. But yeah, I did send it to you guys, and let me know when you need more. Where you get it, you can get it from a company called doTERRA. doTERRA has wellness advocates, so we recommend that you speak to a wellness advocate to help you place an order. So you don't need to necessarily pay at retail. And also the wellness advocate can help you determine what other products you might need to supplement your health and endurance.
Very handy, very practical. Had a couple of packets. And thank you for the gift, as Kevin referenced. I was on a long trail run/hike, 20 plus miles. And two of our teammates were navigating through some hamstring discomfort. And those Deep Blue packets saved them. It really did. Big fan of Scott. Is there any place where you prefer that the rub doesn't get applied?
Yeah, anywhere where your underwear is should not be applied, and anywhere where you wear your eyeglasses. Those are the two places.
Are you speaking from? Is this hypothetical, or I'm just asking for a friend? You're blushing over there, Scott. What's going on there in New Jersey?
I mean, it's not safe near the, can I say the boys? Yeah, I did. You want to keep it away from there, and certainly keep it out of your eye, because and your mouth. It's not ingestible. So you don't want to. If you have a if your lips hurt from kissing too much, the Deep Blue is not going to help you.
All right, Deep Blue.
It's good on the bigger muscles.
Yes, quads, hamstrings, glutes, calves. Yes, 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 yes.
Definitely on biceps too. Low back, biceps and shoulders. I did some shoulder exercises last week, and I definitely used too much weight, and Deep Blue went on me for a few days.
The benefits of a ice bath spiked in a good way with Epsom salt. You know, athletes will ask from time to time, "Hey, coach, what's a good way to recover, especially after a long, strenuous run in the heat, or incorporating some elevation, you know, ascent and descent, you know, net gain, loss?" Ice bath is a great thing to do, but I always recommend in that same breath, put some Epsom salt in there as well. This takes on a deep, for me, it takes off that super cold edge. There's just a different level of muscle soreness relieving effect that Epsom salt has. I love it.
That's so interesting. I would have thought, and I don't know how it is if it's actually made of salt, like Epsom salt, I guess I should take a look at it. But, you know, salt makes ice colder, right? The freezing temperature, it lowers the freezing temperature. Mm-hmm. So that is a surprise to me. I would have thought it would have been even more excruciating or even colder or hard to handle. But you think that it works pretty well, huh?
For me, an ice bath without Epsom salt seems to be, the edge is more intense. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a little bit like, when I feel that they have the ice, the Epsom salt in there, it does seem that I can tolerate the ice, the coldness longer. And then there's the soothing component of the Epsom salt, which brings to you as well. So it's a win-win.
For our audience that doesn't know why you would do an ice bath, talk to them a little bit about ice baths, when to do them. Are you actually putting ice in your ice bath or just like cold water? Or
I think Vanilla Ice said it best, ice, baby. And so as Scott referenced with the cold ball, cold restricts blood flow and also promotes healing. And when you're coming off a long, hard run or preparing for one, ice bath is a good way to get your lower torso. So you're, you know, from your hips all the way down to the ankles, immersed in water and ice. It's very tough because the body is naturally going to react to want to get out, but you can in spurts. For some people, if it's 30 seconds in, 30 seconds out, 60 seconds in, some people will get in with their socks on, shorts on, tights on. I've had athletes, recent athletes, swear by, you know what, coach, you said it. I was reluctant, but I think it really helped me recover quicker. I would have normally skipped a day or two. I was able to still get in those workouts, and that's just putting you exponentially, you know, on your training plan or maybe getting you ahead of the game. So it helps you recover quicker to stay active versus, you know, when you're getting those hill repeats in or a long trail run, a long, you know, 15, 16, 18, 20 plus miler, it's going to help you get back to the game quicker.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. I mean, there's so much value to cold therapy, cold showers. You know, we talk both about like the hot and the saunas and those types of things, as well as cold and the benefits of cold, that there's so much benefit to it. So
cryotherapy, what was it? Adam Duran say, KC? His showers are
cold showers. Yeah. Adam Welcome talked about it too. I guess both Adams, sometimes I'll jump into a cold shower as well. It has a lot of benefits in terms of brown fat and burning a lot more energy, teaching your body to be more efficient. It really does have a lot of weight loss benefits in addition to a lot of other benefits as well. So cold showers when you can.
I'm a big fan of that. I happen to have the privilege of belonging to a gym that has a cold plunge.
Ah, that's cool. That's cool.
It's a small swimming pool. The water's about 4 feet deep. About maybe three people can fit in it. And after I run, I go in it very often. The water, I just actually had to Google what the temperature is. They keep the water between 50 and 55 degrees. That's really cold when your body is 98. So it's, you know, I can stay in. If I'm warm enough, I can stay in for about 15 minutes.
Wow.
And the longer I stay in, the more recovered I feel. It restricts the blood flow, and then my legs feel brand new again the next day.
Do you guys use anything else for recovery? Anything else that you would recommend our audience take a look at? Anything else for even like longer runs or anything that we haven't covered today that people should keep in mind?
One thing that we've been talking about consistently for the last several months is people are increasing their long run mileage is to really focus on dialing in your nutrition and hydration. We'll talk more about that. We can have a whole podcast just on that. I know Scott is working behind the scenes hard to get some running nutrition and hydration experts for our audience to get some Q&A with. But it's really important that you're not just training cardio and endurance on your long runs. Also dial in your nutrition. Experiment with a couple different gels, a couple different hydrations that work for you so you're not guessing on race day.
Coach, and I know that you have some recommendations on gels that you use that have worked well for you. I mean, before we sign off, can you talk about some of the ones that have worked well for you?
I can, certainly. Let's see. We'll start with a local West Coast company that's been making some waves in the natural vegan nutrition. They're called Spring Energy out of San Leandro, California in the East Bay. They do very good work. What are the pluses? One, a higher calorie count than typical gels. Two, because they're all natural items, you know, plant-based, fruit-based, that they are very stable for most runners on their stomach. So very low GI distress when you're ingesting those type of gels. Another gel that I will use is called E-Gel. Been using those off and on for the last probably 8 years. I have a good friend who completed 100K. Now, wow. I would not recommend this for everybody. Completed 100K taking E-Gels and water. And this event had 12,000 feet of elevation gain. So that may be a unique circumstance.
Wow.
Very popular on the triathlon circuit. Why? Because it's a double whammy in a good way because you're getting calories. Also, you're getting electrolytes in that as well. So it's kind of a 2-in-1. You're getting, so you don't have to take salt tablets with this. The pouch size is a little bit bigger. And the consistency for some, because it can be pretty rich, can be pretty sweet, but from an sustaining energy, very good. Another thing, let's see, Muirton. Muirton is I think, made from a derivative of seaweed, so it dissolves quickly, gets the energy source into your system. Again, very stable on your stomach. The consistency is different from typical gels, almost like a Jell-O. When it comes out just a bit, but breaks down pretty quick and gets into your system. Has a relatively neutral taste. They just came out last year, I believe, actually in late 2019 with a caffeine-based version as well. So those of you that may be a little caffeine sensitive, they have, you know, their primary brand does not have caffeine. There are certainly benefits to running with caffeine in your system and longer endurance runs, even caffeine cycling, which is, our elite athletes have been known to do. Something that we're going to be talking about, Scott, as you prepare for your marathon later this year. So those are a couple of brands that I will use frequently and highly recommend.
That's great. Scott, do you use anything else?
Yeah, I like gels. I started with the 50 cent Cliff gel and quickly grew up and started reading the labels. The ones that I like and the nutrition company that I've been focusing using is Hammer Nutrition. They are headquartered in Whitefish, Montana, and they started selling products in 1986. And one of our favorite ultra marathon runners, Dean Karnazes, is sponsored by Hammer Nutrition, and he's been with them since the 90s. So if you want to run like Dean, you want to be in company with Dean, then you know Hammer Nutrition is a good company.
Yeah, good work for sure.
So I do like their gels. I kind of like their Huckleberry one. When you go to Montana and you go up there, you're going to find a nice little berry called the Huckleberry. And it's like a little grape. And they actually produced a Huckleberry gel, which is the only company that makes a Huckleberry flavored gel. And it's delicious. You can just put it on your ice cream there.
What about you, Casey? I've seen you run a half marathon last year. You helped me get to the finish line for the virtual New York marathon.
I think I just ate whatever was on the table. I ate everything. I just had everything, anything, whatever was given to me.
Sometimes
I'm not
that's
even
what
sure.
It takes, man. I mean, yeah. Gummy bears. I love gummy bears. Are good.
Gummy bears. Yeah. think there were like muffin. Yeah, I just
ginger chews and other things.
Ginger, you know, yeah. And I know a lot of people packets. If they have GI distress, yeah, we'll take ginger chews, or like Dean says, he just takes a straight shot of like a straight ginger root and it'll just shove it into his mouth. So, you know, I guess to each their own. I think you guys are right. When you do take a look at the ingredients for gels, to be aware of, you know, what people are putting in. Some gels are like just straight sugar and they'll give you that high. They'll give you, you know, they'll get you a little bit, but then you're going to see that crash come right back. So, you know, pay attention to it. When I was first starting, I was just taking whatever was off the shelf, maybe a little caffeine, whatever gel was kind of on sale. Now I think, you know, a little bit more awareness on what's in that packet. Is there protein in that gel? Are there other things to help, you know, sustain your energy level over the longer distance? I think that's all pretty important as well. Well, and I think with that, we're probably good for products for this Amazon Prime Day. We're going to have a lot more products. We're going to have Scott back on the program a lot more in the future as we kind of dive into other products. If there are other products that you guys are thinking about buying, other things that you want recommendations for, please go out to racemob.com/products. We do have a database of products that we do recommend. We're adding to it all the time. We're taking your recommendations and the things that you guys love. There's links right on there to go ahead and recommend a product for us or to ask for recommendations. So go ahead and go to that page, ask for a recommendation, make a recommendation. Let's keep this database live for everybody going forward as well. And with that, we just want to say thank you, Scott, so much for joining us again. Again, first time in a while, but not. We'll keep this segment going and make it continuous for a long, long time. So
anytime, guys.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it so much. And we'll catch you again next week. Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Race Mob Podcast. Check out all of the show notes or find a running buddy online at racemob.com. Please subscribe to us on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, and leave us a review. Until next time, keep on moving.